merciful Father, be kind to us. Be kind to those who have chosen to follow you. Help us now, because the world hates us. And if we have too much stuff, too many possessions, show us what to do with them to glorify your kingdom. Put in our hearts, we pray, the ways that we can live in this world. Teach us and show us what we need to do so that we can be confident that when we pass through these difficult days, we can stand true in your love, in your banquet kingdom to come. Amen. I recently attended a conference on safe places and contested heritage, hosted by the Ecclesiastical Law Society at St. Peter's in Eaton Square. It was a hall that was filled with lawyers and clergy and bishops and judges discussing and debating the matter of contested memorials, statues, stained glass and church patronage and gravestone and so on. And it was looking at these things in the light of historical connections with immoral or unethical income, and with special reference to those associated with the slave trade. It was a really interesting conference. It's fascinating, actually, and very controversial. There was lots of debate and discussion. Thankfully, as a church here at St. Paul's, we've done our due diligence on these very few memorials. And as far as we know, we have nothing that we need to worry about in terms of historical provocation in the light of slave trade. But my takeaway from the conference was about inclusion. You know, it was how we feel that we fit in the world and how we include people, particularly those that society perhaps doesn't value in the same way as everybody else. The Church of England has this is committed to be a welcoming church, that welcomes all. And it's hard work and it's a constant task not to make what we do exclusive, which is what the Bishop of Worcester said, by the nature of place and being, which makes us an exclusive organisation. You can't help that if you have a cathedral or a building with a boundary and so on. So the challenge is how we not just are inclusive, but how we maintain our inclusivity in the light of a world that's increasingly becoming partisan and boundaried and in groups and out groups and political division. Now, we read the gospel passage today as a simple interpretation of people that are too busy with the cares and concerns of life that as a result they are unable to make a commitment to join in the banquet. One has got to do this and another has got to do that. And so they turn down this life-saving invitation. As an evangelical interpretation, it's a clear lesson in accepting an invitation to becoming a Christian. Accept the invite and get on with it. In evangelical parlance, it means to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And then in brackets, with the condition, as it communicated in the epistle, you know, living a Christian life, getting rid of your possessions, giving to the poor and so on. You need to not just be a Christian, but you need to do a Christian. That's the kind of message that you hear quite often in our type of church. But then again, God knows our intent, he knows our hearts, and it doesn't matter whatever sub-clause you add to being a Christian. In the end, you either accept the invitation or you do not accept it. But I would say there's a little bit more to this story than that. God knows that we're weak, we're broken, we are aging, because God is God. I heard this interesting thing this week that from a science scientist on the radio who talks about there's only one electron. There's only one electron, and it's everywhere at the same time, which means that we are joined entirely to one another. It's a really difficult idea, but there's not lots of electrons. There's just one. But it's in different places at the same time, simultaneously. It's a kind of mind-blowing idea, but I thought about that from a theological point of view. Perhaps that electron is the part of God that breathes life into things and matter. But it also means that we are of one. We're all, if you like, bonded into the very nature of God by this simultaneous electron. Nice idea. Which changes the whole thing about inclusion and exclusion. So, what is Jesus saying in terms of inclusion? Well, the parable here is that you've got a group of people who believe and sincerely believe, and it's in their heritage, that they are the chosen ones, the Jews, the Israelites. You know, represented by the Pharisees and the scribes. And they have this special relationship with the one God. And Jesus is saying, actually, yes, that remains, but you've turned away. You're busy with other stuff. So my invitation now is to all the outcasts. He sends his servant, his church, into the highways and byways, the hedges. I love that. Which we get in our reading, to invite in the broken, the poor, the Gentiles, in other words. God is saying, you know, it's not an exclusive club anymore, it's an inclusive club. And how are we to be inclusive? Well, to reflect our inclusivity by doing the same, welcoming people, not judging them, you know, not putting value on status, not thinking we're better than somebody else because we've got a degree or we've got a qualification or we're middle class or we do this or we do that. Or even likewise, if, you know, I'm proud of who I am because I know who I am and where I come from. You know, it's shredding all that kind of stuff. My cousin recently joined an all men's group to in the hope of prospering as his business as a hotelier. I've just joined a classic car club, right? Because I like cars, I fix cars. I had to join them because I need to buy their spares. And you can only buy the spares if you're a member of the club and you have this number. You know, both organisations, they vet their invitations with their own binding set of rules. You know, you can't join this car club unless you have the car and you have to do this and you have to do that. And they ask you questions. You know, we know those kind of organisations. And they're not really very welcoming to me because I put a V8 in my car. You know, hot rodded it. You know, it looks like a normal one, but I've broken the rule. You know, I modified it. And they're exclusive and judgmental and sniffy. You know, I get these sort of sniffy comments and, you know. I don't know about my cousin, but I know he's having problems because when he was younger, he had left-wing affiliations. So they're not quite sure if he can join this all-male club. On the other hand, Jesus' banquet invitation is open to all. There's no conditions. It's just an open invite. There is one condition, that's to believe and accept. But that's it, you know. And I think the invitation, you know, yeah, if you're getting married, that's important. If you've got oxen, that's important. If you've got a car to fix or a house to do or whatever, they're all important things. It's just about priority. I think that's the thing. We just going to finish on this one point. We are a bit of a closed shop here, aren't we? We're the BCP. We're the BCP 8am group, right? And I like that. We were the only live service during the pandemic, and we zoomed it, and we had nearly some. I think the highest number we had was 39 people or something like that. You know, I like it for the reasons of prevenient grace. But we should never forget, and I challenge you this, that all our services in this parish are inclusive. We're an inclusive church. It's in our map gold. Holy Communion, or Eucharist, or whatever you want to call it, means free access to all, however we celebrate it. I would never, if someone put their hand out for Holy Communion, I'd never deny it as a priest. As my old vicar said, if it moves, I'll baptise it. You know, we must not compromise or put our perceived doctrines or whatever above our invitation to people. If we start turning people away, or more subtly, they feel unwelcome because we are, you know, my needs determine this or that, we become exclusive, then we need to question what we're doing. And we in that position, we will enter into error. So what if it isn't quite how you like it? If you find the perfect church, you better leave so you don't mess it up. You know? So that's my challenge. We must be inclusive and not exclusive. That will mean change, or constant change. It will require creative thinking, you know, if we're on PCCs and committees and things like that. And creative acceptance. Oh, I didn't know that we can do this now. I didn't know that we can marry, or we might have same sex weddings or in this church. Can we give communion to a Catholic person? Of course we can. I remember when the car washing guys came down here because they thought it was a Catholic church and they sat at the back, you know, and I had no problem with giving them Holy Communion. Absolutely none at all. It was wonderful to see them here. Wonderful. So let's learn from this passage, the teaching from Jesus about inclusivity and not fall into error. Because we're also invited to the banquet of heaven. And be careful, because you don't know who you might be sitting next to at that banquet. It's most probably the people you most despised. All right? Okay. And let's not be too busy, even with the work of the church, that we put that above the work of people. Lord, in your mercy, amen.